Tzitzel writes that Rabbi Nazar once said to one of his Talmidim that a Yid who's careful to limit himself when it comes to seeking money and seeking wealth, and the person holds back and doesn't do business with more money than they have, they don't go out to borrow money for doing business, but rather the person does business only with their own money, and they limit it to whatever their funds are. A person knows that they can go out and borrow $100,000, $150,000, and be able to do big business with it. And the person themselves only has, let's say, $10,000 to invest for business purposes. And the person sticks to what their own money is. They're not willing to go out of that boundary. Rabbi Nazar says that by doing that, a person is actually mekayim, one of the outstanding mitzvahs of the Torah. We find that in the Kriya Shema, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, V'yohavto es Hashem alekecha, that we're required to love Hashem, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol miyadecha, with our heart, with our soul, and with all of our wealth. V'chol mo'edecha refers to a person's money. Rabbi Nazar says that when it says that a person is supposed to love Hashem with all of his money, how is he mekayim that mitzvah? That refers to this specific situation, where a person has an opportunity to do business using all of his own money, or using more than that, using some of somebody else's money to do business. And the person chooses not to. They say that whatever Hashem gave me, that's what Hashem wants me to use to earn a living with. I'm not willing to go with more than that. Rabbi Nazar says that this is called being mekayim, this inyan of b'chol miyodecho, serving Hashem with all of your money, by not going out to use more than what's yours. This is one item. And Rabbi Nazar says, regarding this inyan of b'chol miyodecho, Rabbi Nazar also said to another one of his Talmidim that when a Yid is zoche to give a chaimish to tzedakah from their money, that's how a person is zoche to be mekayim uvechol miyodecha. We know that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that each and every single Jew who observes Torah and mitzvahs is required to take 10% from whatever they earn, any profit that they make, any gift that they receive, and give that away to tzedakah. This is an obligation. This is not kindness. This is the basic requirement for being Jewish. Hashem says that Hashem wants to be partners with a Jew in whatever they acquire. The partnership is such that Hashem is willing to settle for the Yid keeping 9 and Hashem getting 1 out of 10. And the Gemara says that if a Jew lives in this way, Hashem puts a bracha into the person's earning, into the person's efforts, that the person is successful. If not, Hashem says, if you're not willing to stick to these rules of the partnership, then we'll go the reverse. Hashem says, I'll take 9/10 and I'll leave you the miser. I'll only give you 1/10 of what you were really supposed to get in terms of parnosa. That's the chiyuv. That's Hebrew law. Rabbi Nazar said, if a person wants to show that they're serving Hashem with all their wealth, which means being extra religious, that being extra religious is when a person is zoche to give 2/10, a fifth of their money, meiser, to tzedakah. And we find that there were a few of Rabbi Nazar's Talmidim that was zoche to carry this out, that was zoche actually to give double what was considered standard or normal in terms of tzedakah. The next paragraph, Reish Tzadik, 290, Rabbi Nosanzal says that I heard people say over in Rabbi Nazar's name that great tzaddikim, when they speak Divrei Torah, in the words that they speak are included everything that the entire Klal Yisrael needs. We know that the Zohar HaKadosh says that when we talk about Hashem giving Shefa to the world, Hashem providing sustenance to the world, there is a pipeline through which this Shefa comes. That pipeline is the Tzaddik. Meho'echel Yotzo Meichel, the Zohar HaKadosh Darshan's, one of the riddles that's brought in Tanakh, that was said during the time of Shimshon HaGibor, that from that which eats came forth something which was eaten. And the Zohar HaKadosh interprets that statement to refer to an oichel is a tzaddik. The pasuk says, tzaddik oichel l'soiv hanafshoi, that a tzaddik eats for the benefit of his neshama. He doesn't eat for to get physical pleasure from what he's eating, but he eats to sustain the neshama, to tie together the neshama and guf. That's the oichel, the tzaddik. Me ha-oichel yotzo meichel. All the meichel, all the sustenance for the world, comes via the oichel, via the tzaddik. Rabbi Nazar says, when does this take place? When a tzaddik teaches Torah to Bnei Yisrael, when he gives of his Torah, he's actually being mashpia to Bnei Yisrael. Together with his diburim of Torah, he actually distributes to each person everything that they need, beruchnius and begashmius. And therefore, Rabbi Nazar says, when he speaks, he does it in such a way where each and every single person receives everything that they need individually. Rabbi Nazar says that this is hinted to in a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, "Ele hadvorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael." These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the entire Am Yisrael. Now the question is, in those days they didn't have speakers, electronic speakers, where Moshe Rabbeinu could speak at one time, where all 600,000 Jews would hear him. So obviously that's not what this pasuk is referring to. But rather Rabbi Nazar says this means that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, from his words, there emanated what was needed for the entire Klal Yisrael. Each and every single Yid that listened to Moshe Rabbeinu speaking was able to receive exactly what they needed. Both Beruchnius, each and every person received the advice that they needed. There are many stories written about Rabbi Nazar that people would come to his shir, and in his shiurim were included advice that dealt with each and every single person's particular situation. There would be an incident that would come up that a person would have a problem, a financial problem, a health problem, a decision that they needed to make, and the person didn't know what direction to go, and the person didn't get a chance to present this question privately to Rabbi Nazar, and Rabbi Nazar would give a shir on Shabbos or on Yontif or whenever it was, and the person found that automatically by listening to the shir, by coincidence, seeming coincidence, in Rabbi Nazar's shir was included the question, the answer, plus anything else they needed to know related to that subject. And obviously this was not coincidence. This is part of the ruach of Kedusha that tzaddikim possess, that their words, the divrei Torah that they speak, they don't get it from their brains. They don't get it just from their learning. A tzaddik, when he speaks, he asks Hashem to give him words to speak. Just as we say in the introduction to Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem sefosai tiftoch ufi yageti losecho, Hashem, please open my lips and let me speak your praises. And what we're implying there is we're asking Hashem to be mekayim the posuk v'osim devorai b'ficha. The posuk says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will place my words in your mouth. I will give you what to say. Hashem kaviyochel will take the actual words, put them in the tzaddik's mouth for the tzaddik to know exactly what to say. And this is where people that were privileged to partake from Rabbi Nazar's shiurim, or from the shiurim of other tzaddikim, was zeichet to witness this seeming miracle, where in their learning was contained actual practical advice that was specifically needed for them. The next paragraph, Reish Tzaddik Aleph, 291, Rabbi Nosson Zal says, I found a certain item that wasn't published in the Likutei Moran. It was left out from the edition of the Likutei Moran that we have. And yet this was something that was originally included in Rabbi Nazar's shiurim. And this is the item. Rabbi Nazar said, Da, you should know, that in each and every single generation, there are new sicknesses that are introduced to the world. Sicknesses that didn't exist before in the world, brand new, coming into the world. And this is based on the pasuk, Yosef Das, Yosef Machoiv. The pasuk says that the more wisdom that there is, the more suffering, the more pain and suffering that there is, implying that because of the fact that in each and every single generation, Hashem puts into the mind of scientists or other people to introduce new chachmas to the world, new inventions to the world, new different types of energy, solar energy, different types of machinery, airplane, ships, new technologies, computers, videos, different things that are brand new chachmas that are being introduced into the world. Whenever there's new das, there's automatically new machoivos, new types of suffering also, and specifically illnesses that are introduced to the world. And Rabbi Nizal concluded with the words, Hashem Yatzilenu, may Hashem protect us from chas v'sholem having any of these illnesses attach themselves to us. But it's interesting to note that as we watch the history of the world unfold and the current events, and we know that there are sicknesses that are being spoken about today that are very popular, Rachmona Litzlan, and yet years ago it was just about unheard of. And it seems that this is a new type of bruch that came to the world. And in fact, Rabbi Nizal says, you should know it is, because these two items travel together. A new revelation of Das automatically implies new suffering also, Rachmona Litzlan. The next paragraph, Reish Tzadik Beis, Rav Nosson Zal speaks and tells a story about one of his friends, one of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim. In order to give an introduction to this story, we're going to go to the Sefer Koich Ve'Oir that discusses how many of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim first met him and how they became close to him. And these are some of the most outstanding stories in the heritage of Breslov, in the heritage of Rabbeinu Zal, to see exactly how his Talmidim acted towards him, how he acted toward them, and what made them so unique. And by coincidence again, we mentioned earlier the issue of Chaimish, a person giving a fifth of their earnings to tzedakah, that's how a person is zecha to be mekayim uvechol miyadecha. And here, Rabbeinu Zal, in this paragraph, Reish Tzadik Beis, we have one of the stories related to Reb Yudel Zal. Reb Yudel was one of Rabbeinu Zal's great Talmidim. And as we said, we're going to give a little bit of an introduction to describe how this person came to Rabbeinu Zal. This Reb Yudel had a close friend and a student whose name was Reb Doiv, who lived in the city of Chigrin, which was one of the large cities of Talmidei Chachamim in Russia. This Reb Doiv was a businessman, and this Reb Doiv, Rabbeinu Zal, instructed him to give a fifth of everything he would earn for tzedakah and to distribute it among the poor people. This Reb Doiv was zeichet to be mekayim this throughout his entire life. He stuck to this through whatever financial situations he went through. He was always makbid to give one-fifth of whatever he earned to tzedakah. And it's brought that before he passed away, he once said that because of my chaimish, because I was zeicha to be strict in fulfilling Rabbeinu Zal's instructions in this mitzvah of tzedakah, I have no fear at all whatsoever for the Bezin Shalmala. I'm not afraid at all of confronting the heavenly court and having them analyze what I did in this world, what I did that was right, what I did that was wrong. He said, Sivet mir noch arois kumen. I know that I'm going to come out ahead. Even with all the different things that I might have done during my life that were improper, that weren't so good, he had such a confidence in this mitzvah of giving a chomish tzedakah that he said, I know that when things are put on the scales, I'm definitely going to come out ahead. This Reb Doiv Zal was zeicha to become a kuruv to Rabbeinu Zal years before Rav Nosson Zal even. And it's interesting to note how he became a kuruv. This Reb Doiv Zal lived in a city called Dashiv, and there he had two very close friends that served as friends and rabbis to him. We know that in the Gemara there is the concept of a Talmud Chover. There's a concept of a student, somebody that's a student and friend together, whether it's based on the age or the closeness in knowledge of Torah, where one knows more than the other, but it's not necessarily that great a gap to be considered purely rabbi and student relationship. So sometimes we have this case of a Talmud Chover. This Reb Doiv Zal, at a certain point in time, after he got married, was being supported by his father-in-law to study Torah. And it came a certain time when he had to leave his father-in-law's table and go live in the city with his father and to receive support and assistance from his father. His father, it turns out, lived in a small village that was close to Medvedevka, which was where Rabbeinu Zal was living at the time. When Reb Yudel Zal, his rabbi friend, found out that he was going to be leaving, Dashiv, and he was going to have to move into the vicinity of where Rabbeinu Zal lived, he warned this Reb Dov Zal, make sure whatever you do, don't get involved with him. Don't get involved with them, Rabbi Nachman and his students. Because of the fact that this Reb Dov Zal was so close to Reb Yudel, and he respected him to such a degree, he took his advice very seriously, and he made sure to stay away. He ended up living there for a period of time, possibly a couple of years, and then it's brought that he fell into a very serious depression. He had a certain type of very serious suffering from a certain problem that he was going through, and as a result of that problem that he had, that's what forced him to meet Rabbeinu Zal. There's a pasuk in the Chumash where the pasuk says, "Batzar lecha umitzaucha," that when you're going to have pain and suffering, you're going to discover Hashem. V'shavta ad Hashem alikecha. And the pasuk says over there, you'll be zeichet to do tshuva. And we find that there are many cases in the history of Klal Yisrael that there were people that weren't that religious. And what it took, the type of circumstance that it took for them to become religious or extra religious, was some type of problem, in certain cases, Rachmana Litzlan, a catastrophe of some sort. And this item ends up being the thing that gives the person that push that they need to be brought close to Torah, to be brought close to Tzadikim. In this case, it's brought in Chaim Aran that this Reb Dov Zal and his wife had lived together for years, and they weren't zeichet to have children. And at one point in time, this Reb Dov Zal, because of the fact that he was so upset, he approached Rabbeinu Zal, asking him for help regarding this item. And Rabbeinu Zal said to him that what you need to do is you need to give tzedakah. By giving tzedakah, you'll be zeichet to have children. So Reb Dov Zal said to Rabbeinu Zal, what if I can't? What if I don't have what to give from? Could be this was referring to this period of time where he was being supported by his own father. So he wasn't in a position to give anything substantial to tzedakah. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, in that case, work on your emunah. Make sure to develop and strengthen your faith in Hashem, because emunah is also a form of tzedakah, a form of charity. We find that by Avram Avinu, the Torah says, ve'he'emin b'Hashem, that Avram Avinu was zeichet to have true faith in Hashem, v'yachsheveho lo'i tzedakah. And Hashem considered it a form of tzedakah for Avram Avinu, the fact that he had this pure faith in Hashem. Just as when a person gives tzedakah, that's a sign of emunah, it's a sign of trust. There's no way in the world that a person would be taking money out of his own pocket to give to somebody else if they didn't believe that this was going to benefit them in some way. Logically, rationally, it seems like a silly thing to do. If I have something, why should I take it away from myself and give it to somebody else? Unless I really believe that the taking away is actually a form of giving to myself, that I'll actually benefit from this. So it's brought that Reb Dov Zal did this. He did whatever was needed, and Rabbeinu Zal said to him at the time, and also we find that the word emunah, aleph mem vov nun hey, is bigimatria bonim, exactly, bigimatria children. So Rabbeinu Zal said to him, work on this, and you'll see you'll be zeichet to children. And we find that this is exactly what happened. Reb Dov was misakin whatever he needed to be misakin, and he was zeichet to have children after that. So it's brought that at this time, obviously, when he heard these words coming from Rabbeinu Zal, with the sincerity and with the Yira Shamayim and with the emes that Rabbeinu Zal had, he suddenly felt that despite the advice that he had been given by his rabbi, Reb Yudel, to stay away from Rabbeinu Zal, he felt that this was the place to be. And from that point on, he attached himself to Rabbeinu Zal, and he became one of his close students. And it's brought that Rabbeinu Zal was especially careful with this Reb Dov Zal to watch his Avodas Hashem, to give him instructions precisely as to how exactly what he should do so that he shouldn't try to do more than he was able to and thereby get burnt, chas v'shalom. There are certain times that a person tries in religion to exceed their own level, to do more than what they're capable of doing, and as a result, this could actually bring harm to a person. So it's brought that bedafka by this Talmud, Reb Dov Zal, Rabbeinu Zal was especially careful to tell him how far to go and not to go any further than that. A while after he became close to Rabbeinu Zal, a circumstance arose where he had to travel back to the city of Dashiv, to where his father-in-law lived, and to where his former rabbi, Reb Yudel, lived. And before he left Rabbeinu Zal, he asked him, what should I do if I'm confronted with this rabbi who I used to learn with? And he's the one who gave me specific instructions to stay away from you. What should I do when I see him? And Rabbeinu Zal warned him not to listen at all, that even if Reb Yudel Zal would reprimand him harshly, to ignore it completely, period, not to be bothered by it at all whatsoever, because in fact he had done the best thing he possibly could for himself in attaching himself to Rabbeinu Zal. One of the interesting items that's brought about this Reb Dov Zal was that as many of Rabbeinu Zal's students at that time were makbid every single night to break the night, to break the sleep, whereas people consider it normal, one of the basic, simplest forms of pleasure in this world is to get a good night's sleep, which people assume to be 6 hours, 8 hours. People have all kinds of boundaries as to what that is. And it's brought that tzaddikim, people that are very serious about serving Hashem, one of the choice avodas that they do is to take these 8 hours or 6 hours and break it. Right in the middle, right in the center of the night, to wake up, and rather than continuing to sleep, they use the second half of the night for learning Torah, for hispoidedus, for davening, and in particular davening about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, crying over how bad we feel over the fact that we're not zeicha to have the Beis Hamikdash. It's brought that this Reb Dov Zal wanted very much to get up for Chatzos, and it seems that he had trouble waking up. So at one time, he instructed a goy, whether this was a servant or a neighbor, a goy that was in the area, to wake him up every single night. What happened was this worked for a period of time, but there were many times when the goy would wake him up, and then he would fall back asleep. Before he got a chance to pull himself together and get out of bed and start his avodah, he would fall back asleep, and he saw that this wasn't helping him either. So he decided to give the goy instructions not to leave until he was out of bed and completely dressed. And it's brought that this he did for a period of time, but this caused him bilbulim. It made him very nervous. He was always nervous before he went to go to sleep. What if the goy wouldn't show up? All the different possibilities. And this was mevalvel him, and it actually caused him to have headaches from this. And he suffered from this. After he met Rabbeinu Zal, his mother, Reb Dov Zal's mother, once approached Rabbeinu Zal and complained that she knows her son is suffering with headaches and other kinds of problems as a result of the fact that he doesn't sleep the full amount that he needs. So Rabbeinu Zal heard about this, and he saw that this was really true, that this Reb Dov Zal was being too extreme in trying to avoid the sleep. So Rabbeinu Zal said to him the famous words, Shlof un es, nor heat the tzait. A Jew is supposed to sleep, a Jew is supposed to eat, but watch the time. The main thing is not to waste time. A Jew isn't required to fast, a Jew isn't required not to sleep at all. You're entitled to do certain basic needs that the body has, but the time that you're awake and the time that you don't have to be eating, make sure you don't let that time slip out of your hands. Don't let it be wasted. The Meforshim bring that that's one of the ways that Jews are mekayim the avera of loy tirtzach. How does a Jew, a religious Jew, commit murder? Murder is when a person takes 15 minutes of their own that they could be using to learn Chumash and Rashi, to learn Mishnayis, to say Tehillim, to come to shul earlier, and the person takes that time and wastes it. Killing time is actually an act of murder. Who are you murdering? yourself. You actually shortened your life by 15 minutes. The fact that those 15 minutes could have been used to serve Hashem and they weren't, it means instead of living 73 years and 45 minutes, when the person passes away, they actually lived that amount and a half hour. Because those 15 minutes are not considered part of their life, chas v'shalom. And Rabbi Nizal said to this Reb Doiv, take this advice that I gave you seriously and think it over and try to apply it. And then come back to me in a while and you'll ask me exactly how this applies to you. This Reb Doiv Zal did, and Rabbi Nizal said to him that I want you to know that for you, your chatzos will not be like everybody else. For everybody else, their chatzos is approximately 12 o'clock midnight, depending on winter or summer. For you, your chatzos will be 3 a.m. That's the time for you to get up. You're not supposed to get up earlier than that. And this Reb Doiv Zal took seriously, even though the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh speak about how fantastic a mitzvah it is for a person to get up at chatzos, at midnight. He understood that to follow his rabbi's advice, that the one that was in a position to teach him what his avodah of chatzos was only his own personal rabbi. And he followed Rabbi Nizal's advice in this. And it's brought that the people in the Beis Medrash in Chigrin used to know when they saw him walking into the shul early in the morning, everybody knew, now it's 3 a.m. You were able to tell like a clock, that's how serious he followed the advice of Rabbi Nizal. Rabbi Nizal once commented about this Reb Doiv, that his Yira Shamayim is so serious, like a person is afraid in those days, if a person was caught stealing or doing other types of criminal acts, they would flog the person in middle of the street. They would take the person, lay him down over a board, and whip the person. 100 lashes, 300 lashes, the kind of punishment where a person wouldn't be able to walk for a few weeks after that from the severe pain. Rabbi Nizal said that this Reb Doiv is afraid of Hashem like a person feels the fear when they're placed before the Russischen zu schmeißen, when the Russian lays them out on the table to give them this type of whipping. The kind of fear that grips people at that moment, that's the kind of Yira Shamayim this Reb Doiv had 24 hours a day. Now, we said earlier that this Reb Yudel Zal had instructed him to stay away from Rabbi Nachman, to stay away from Rabbi Nizal. However, we said that Reb Doiv Zal ended up not following that advice and coming close to Rabbi Nizal. Then when he came back to the city of Dashiv, when Reb Yudel found out what had happened to him, and he saw the kind of changes it affected in his life, he saw that this Reb Doiv was no longer the same person. He watched his davening, and he saw that his davening was much, much better than it had ever been before he met Rabbi Nizal. And he watched his learning, and he watched his frumkeit in general, and he noticed a very major change from when this Reb Doiv had left him and met up with Rabbi Nizal to this period of time. And because of the sincerity and the honesty of these tzaddikim at that time, Reb Yudel, rather than getting angry at him for the fact that he hadn't followed his advice, Reb Yudel expressed an interest and a curiosity. He asked Reb Doiv to please tell him stories about Rabbi Nizal. Tell me about this tzaddik that affected such a change to your life. This Reb Doiv did. And then this Reb Yudel, who was his rabbi, plus one of his close friends, Reb Shmuel Isaac Zal, decided, based on what they heard, that they wanted to go meet this rabbi themselves. If he was able to have such a significant effect on their student to make him so much more religious, they wanted to see if they could benefit by it too. Now, because of the fact that they were very poor at the time and couldn't afford to make this trip by wagon or by any other means of travel, the distance from Dashiv, where they lived, to Medvedevka, where Rabbi Nizal lived, was a distance of about 200 miles. They ended up deciding to walk together, Reb Yudel Zal and Reb Shmuel Isaac Zal, to walk from Dashiv to Medvedevka to meet this tzaddik. This they did, and on the way, one of the cities that they passed was the city of Trovitz, one of the famous cities in Russia at the time, and there they met a few other people in the city, and they got them to come along with them. And this group of people walked together a few hundred miles to meet Rabbeinu Zal. This was obviously not done over a period of days. This is the sincerity and the seriousness that rabbis had in that time in wanting to grow. Now we come to the story, the incident in Reb Yutel's life that's mentioned here in the place in Sichas Aran that we're up to right now. This Reb Yutel, it's brought, was a major Talmud Chacham, and he was highly respected in the city of Dashiv where he lived. He was the son-in-law of Reb Leib Mistretenitz, who was one of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim. And if we say one of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim, obviously you could imagine what level of greatness we're talking about in knowledge of Torah, in Tzidkus. And his father-in-law, this Reb Leib Mistretenitz, had taught him the Kisvei Arizal. So that Reb Yudel Zal, besides being knowledgeable in Gemara, in Halacha, he also had this knowledge of secrets of Kabbalah also. When he came to Rabbeinu Zal, after having walked 200 miles to meet this tzaddik, when he came to him, his words to Rabbeinu Zal in meeting him were, Yoireinu Rabbeinu Derech L'Avoida Saboir Yisborach. Will our rabbi please teach us a path of how to come very close to Hashem? When Rabbeinu Zal heard these words, he felt that this was being spoken. This is not how a student comes to a rabbi. When a student comes to a rabbi to ask a question, or if he really wants the rabbi to bring him close to Hashem, we learned recently that it's brought in Oisiyos to Rabbi Akiva that Yehoshua, who was Moshe Rabbeinu's closest student, when he presented himself before his rabbi, he presented himself as a ksil, as a fool. He acted as if he knew nothing, as if he was a three-year-old kid coming to ask a question. He wasn't coming with an arrogance, with a firmness, like a person who knows almost everything else there is to need to know. He's just got two or three questions a month or a year that he checks in with his rabbi just to sort of clean up his act, just to add a little bit of spice to all the tons of knowledge that he has on his own. So when Rabbeinu Zal heard him speaking in this way, this is after showing such sincerity and such humbleness in walking 200 miles to come to see this rabbi, Rabbeinu Zal said to him, Lodas ba'oretz darkecho? There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that Hashem lets his wisdom be known in the lowest part of the earth. So Rabbeinu Zal said this as a question to Reb Yudel Zal. Do you want me to present my wisdom, Bo'oretz? In other words, implying that you're on such a low level and you're asking about a derech l'avoides Hashem, you're using these fancy words, you want to know that's all that you're missing now. Everything else, you know everything there is to know, you just want to know what's the exact derech to come close to Hashem. Implying that the question wasn't being asked with the right humbleness. And it's brought that when Rabbeinu Zal said this, he looked at him in a certain way where this Reb Yudel Zal was shattered with pachad, fear. He suddenly felt an overwhelming awe and fear standing in the presence of Rabbeinu Zal to such a point where he jumped back like a person sees a lion or sees something that's unbelievably overwhelming. He jumped back away from Rabbeinu Zal to the door of the room through which he had entered. Right after that, Rabbeinu Zal walked over to him and said to him, what are you afraid of? I don't see what you're so overawed about. There isn't that much of a difference between you and me, other than the fact that I'm a bit smarter than you. That's all. And Rabbeinu Zal started talking to him and being mekar of him, showing him friendliness and warmth. And then a second time, suddenly, Rabbeinu Zal placed this pachad on him, where again, suddenly he felt himself overwhelmed with fear. And again, he jumped back, jumped away from Rabbeinu Zal, headed for the door to get out. That's the kind of panic that suddenly filled him. And a second time, Rabbeinu Zal went over to him and said, what are you afraid of me? Again, there's no big difference between you and me, just that I'm a bit smarter than you. And this happened a third time. And after the third time, Rabbeinu Zal finally hinted to this Reb Yudel Zal that what he needs to do now is to be mizvadeh. He needs to confess his sins before Rabbein Azal. There was a short period of time during Rabbein Azal's lifetime where he allowed his Talmidim to come before him and to do a confession, to actually confess their sins. There is a chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Dalet, where Rabbein Azal explains in detail, showing from Psukim in Tanakh, how a Chochem, a Talmud Chochem, has the power to be Mechaper Avoinos. Just as the Gemara says that one of the main functions of the Kohen Godoil was to be Mechaper al Bnei Yisrael, V'chiper ba'adoi uvad beisoy bad kol kal Yisrael, we know that the Novi says that a Talmud Chacham is considered on a much higher level than a Kohen Godoil. So if the Kohen Godoil can do that, certainly the Talmud Chacham can do it. And Rabbein Azal quotes a pasuk, Chamas Melech Malachei Moves, that when a Jew commits a sin or many sins, this arouses the anger of Hashem. And this anger quite often is reflected in Malach HaMoves, in an angel of death coming to either kill the person or Chas V'Shalom inflict pain and suffering. And the pasuk finishes by saying, V'ish Chochom Yichapreno. But a Talmud Chochom has the power to forgive, has the power to remove those forces of the Malach HaMoves who normally punish for sins. A Talmud Chochom has the power to save a person from that. So Rabbein Azal hinted to Rabbi Yudel Zal to be mizvadeh. This he did. And from that point on, there was formed a very serious kesher between them. This Rabbi Yudel Zal became one of Rabbein Azal's close students. And he grew in Torah, in Tefillah, in Tshuva, in Maisim Tovim. And he was also one of the people in that generation who was zecha to be mechadesh in Torah, to bring new revelations of Torah into the world. It's interesting to note that before Rabbein Azal made his trip to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbein Azal asked Rabbi Yudel to give him a bracha. Rabbein Azal received a bracha from Rabbi Yudel. So again, you have to know we're talking about a great tzaddik and Talmud Chacham who came to Rabbein Azal to be brought closer to Hashem. One of the interesting, striking stories in terms of the closeness that Rabbi Yudel Zal had to his rabbi, Rabbi Yudel Zal once asked Rabbein Azal, please show me a miracle. I'd love to see a miracle. Rabbein Azal said to him, fine, stay here. This was obviously right before Shabbos. And Rabbein Azal said to Rabbi Yudel Zal, stay with me over Shabbos and I'll show you something. Obviously very excited, Rabbi Yudel Zal decided to stay. And Rabbein Azal said to him during Shabbos, that there's a village close by where there's a person that lives there that's close to me, one of my Talmidim. This person was living for a long time married without children, and he came to me many times asking me to arouse Rachmonis by Hashem to try to see what I could do to help him. At one point in time, I promised him that he's going to have a son. However, I made a condition with him. I said to him that every single time that 6 months go by, once every half a year, he must bring me a rendel, a certain coin for tzedakah, a dollar, a $10 bill, once every half a year. This was the deal I made in order for him to be able to have children. Rabbein Azal said this person followed my instructions, and his wife was zeicha to have a baby boy. And Rabbein Azal said to Rabbi Yudel Zal, this happened a while ago, and up till today, this student has been following my instructions to the T. Like clockwork, I know the exact day that he's going to be coming, every single 6 months, to bring me this rendel. However, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, is the day when he's supposed to come to bring me the rendel, and I know that he's not going to come. He's not going to fulfill his word. He gave his word that he's going to do this. He's not going to fulfill his word because of the fact that his brother-in-law is putting on pressure on him to talk him out of this. The brother-in-law tells him, how do you know it's not him that did it? Because when you wanted to have children, I also went to other tzaddikim and I gave them money for a pidyon and I asked them also to pray for you and your wife. So who are you to say that Rabbi Nachman is the one that did it for you? And the brother-in-law has been working on him for a while to talk him out of this. And I know that he's just achieved success. I know that this Talmud has decided that he's not going to come. And Rabbi Nezal said to Rabbi Yudel, you're going to see that instead of the Rendel that he's supposed to bring me, he's going to bring me his son dead, Rachmona Litzlan. And V'chein havo mamish k'divrei Admor Zatzal. That was exactly what happened on Tuesday. This student came. We don't have to describe the frame of mind he came in. And he came and brought this child to Rabbi Nezal. We know that it's brought in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Nedorim, Ba'avoin Nedorim, that specifically when it comes to this item, tzedakah, if a person makes a pledge for tzedakah and they don't keep it, Rachmona Litzlan, this is something that could cause this type of punishment, chas v'shalom. Rav Nosson Zal adds here that it seems that Rabbeinu Zal understood that because this child had been born, in a sense, through a type of miracle, it took an extra effort to bring this child into the world. Because of that, Rabbeinu Zal understood that he had to do a special hamtoka sadinim for this child in this form. Twice a year, there had to be a pidyon of this magnitude to keep this child alive. And as soon as this item was stopped, Rachmona Litzlan, immediately the dinim took over, and that's what caused, chas v'shalom, this tragedy. That's one miracle that Rabbi Yudel Zal was privileged to see. Again, this same Talmud, Rabbi Yudel, there was once an incident that Rabbeinu Zal was having a discussion with people in the shul about a certain pshat in Gemara. They were discussing a certain Gemara, and we know that quite often it's possible even for learned people to have a difference of opinion as to exactly what the Gemara means to say. Rabbeinu Zal held one way, and there were a group of people that felt respectfully that they disagreed with the interpretation of the Gemara. Those people said, let Rabbi Yudel be the one to decide who's right. Now, obviously, he had just come into the shul, possibly, and this controversy was going on strong, and they said, let's see who he's going to say is right. Rabbi Yudel Zal heard both sides, and obviously, with respect, he said, it seems to him, he also thought that the pshat in the Gemara is the way those other people were saying. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, what if I prove to you that I'm right? Will you let me lay you down on the table and give you a whipping? So Rabbi Yudel Zal said, sure, no problem. Rabbeinu Zal proceeded to explain the Gemara and to show all of them very clearly where their mistake was. And then after he finished, he said, okay, come here. And he lay this Rabbi Yudel Zal on, he had him lay down on the table, and he had somebody give him schmitz, give him petch. This is a Talmud Chacham, a person who was knowledgeable in Sifrei Kabbalah, a Talmud of Rabbi Leib Mistretinitz. And at the time that Rabbi Yudel Zal received the petch, he had a chalishas hadas, and he was maharher. He had a bad thought against Rabbeinu Zal, because he felt that Rabbeinu Zal was doing the wrong thing in putting him through this shame and this pain and suffering. Afterwards, he went home. Rabbi Yudel Zal went back to his house, and he found that his daughter was very ill. And he immediately came to Rabbeinu Zal to tell Rabbeinu Zal about this problem in his family. Rabbeinu Zal proceeded to tell him about a story that there was once a mill that was used to grind tvua in the city of Danzig, the city that the Chayodim came from. And this mill was run on 24 stones. And it seems that some kind of a spirit, a dibuk, a shed of some sort, got into that mill and wasn't allowing the mill to function. It wasn't working. No matter what they tried to do to get this mill to work, they couldn't get it to work. And they found out a magician at the time instructed them that by taking one of the 24 stones that we used to work that mill, taking it out and grinding it up to dust, they would find that the mill would function perfectly after that. This they did, and they found that the mill was okay. This is what Rabbeinu Zal told Rabbi Yudel Zal, and he explained to him that this was a hint related to his daughter. We know the Gemara says that there are Chof Dalid Roshei Evorim. There are 24 major organs of the body, including the fingers, different parts of the body that are included within these Chof Dalid Roshei Evorim. And Rabbeinu Zal was implying that because of the fact that Reb Yudel was maharher at the time that he got this whipping, because of the fact that he thought badly against his rabbi, as a result of that, his daughter would have to forfeit one of these chof dalei devarim. And sure enough, Rav Nosson Zal writes that afterwards, what happened was a finger on one of her hands,